Hare Krishna. So since today is Lord Ramchandra's appearance day, we are going to discuss about Lord Ramchandra's pastimes. Who is Lord Ramchandra? Lord Ramchandra is the Maryada Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead who appeared to establish the Maryada, the importance of following the scriptures, to establish the importance and glory of the Vedic scriptures. Krishna is the Leela Purushottam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is simply concerned about his pastimes. He is simply interested in his pastimes, whereas Lord Ramchandra came as the personality who came to establish the maryada of the scriptures, maryada of the dharma. He comes yada yada hi dharmasya glane bhavati. Whenever there is a decline of religious principles and increase of a religiosity, then he comes to re-establish dharma. But his appearance as Lord Ramchandra establishes the specific purpose of establishing. And that's why Prabhupada said that if we have to follow, imitate the activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all, then we must try to imitate the activities of Lord Ramchandra. Krishna's activity should never be imitated because he is the Leela Purushottam. Since Lord Ramchandra is the Maryada Purushottam, everybody must follow his footsteps, act the way he acted. That is the meaning of Maryada. Or at the same time, if we have to follow the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then the best way to, if at all we have to act like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we must try to imitate the activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Otherwise the Lord's activity should never be imitated. But if at all we want to imitate him, then Lord Ramchandra's pastime should be Sri Chaitanya Chandra's pastime should be never, ever. One should try to imitate the activities of Krishna Chandra. So Ramchandra is the Leela Mata. Krishna has six kinds of incarnation. Krishna is not an incarnation. Krishna is the source of all incarnation, origin of all incarnation. And Ramadi Murti Shukala Niyamena Tishthan Nana avataram aparod bhuvaneshu kintu Krishna swayam samabhavat parama kumaro Govindam adi purusham tamah. Ramadi murtishu, the appearances like that of Lord Ramchandra, Varaha, Purma, Nrisimha, they are Nana avataram akorod. The Supreme Personality of Godhead incarnated in many such forms. Nana, many such incarnations. Kintu, but Krishna swayam samabhavat paramakta. But Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of God. Paramakumani. That Govindam Adipurusham Tamah Bhajam. I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, the Primal Lord. Jai Shri Shri Nrisimha Bhagavan ki. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madhava ki. Jai. Jai Shri Shri Panchatattva ki. So Ramchandra appeared in Treta Yuga. In Treta Yuga, Lord Ramchandra appeared in Ayodhya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has his specific abodes. They are actually situated in the spiritual sky. They are not some places in this material nature. They are nothing but the extension of the spiritual sky where the Lord appears. But as a matter of fact, those places are in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky, in the Vaikuntha region, there is a place, there is one abode of the Lord called Ayodhya. And Lord Ramchandra performs his eternal pastimes there in Ayodhya, in the spiritual sky. But in Treta Yuga, the Lord appears on this earth planet. And where he appears, that also is Ajata. He appears, which is Swadhama, his own abode. Just as Krishna appears with his abode, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears his own abode, his dham. Krishna's dham is Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dham is Navadvip, this particular place where we are. Similarly, Lord Ramchandra's eternal abode is Ayodhya. So he appears in Ayodhya, in Treta, as the son of Dashrath. And this particular incarnation is, the Lord appears with his Chaturbhuja. Vasudev, Shankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha. Vasudev appears as Lord Ramchandra, Shankarshan appears as Lakshman, Bharat, Vasudeva Shankarshan Pradyumna appears as Bharat, and Aniruddha as Shatrughna. So this is the Chaturbhuja of Ayodhya. This Chaturbhuja of Ayodhya appears in Treta Yuga in this place on the earth planet. A specific place called Ayodhya. They appear as the son of King Dasharatha. Their activities were extremely wonderful. Their appearance also was extremely wonderful. Dasharatha, the king, although he was the ruler of the entire earth planet, an extremely powerful king, he was so powerful that even the demigods used to ask him to fight on their behalf against the demons. Such a powerful person. So Dasharatha often fought on behalf of the demigods against the demons. And although he was such a powerful personality, powerful king, ruler of the entire earth planet, and an unique warrior with an inconceivable prowess, but he didn't have any children. And for a king not to have a son is the most unfortunate thing to have. Because the king must continue the line. The king must see that the line continues, the family line continues. He has a successor to descend the throne, to ascend the throne, to become the successor to the throne. So Maharaj Dasharatha was very, very unhappy with that. And once when Dasharatha was hunting in the forest, he heard which sounded like an elephant was drinking water. But actually it was Rishi Kumar, a son of a sage, who was collecting water in the pitcher from the river. And so Dasharatha released an arrow, thinking that to be an elephant. He released an arrow which is called Shabdabhedi, that would follow the sound and hit the target. So we can see how advanced they used to be at that time. And nowadays also, they are inventing missiles that would strike following the heat. and other such targets. But following the sound, they could hit the target. So Dasharath released an arrow that would hit the target following the sound. And unfortunately, that target happened to be the son of a sage, Andhakamuni. And that sage was blind, and his son was his only shelter. And the son died, and when King Dasharath saw that, he was extremely worried, extremely unhappy, extremely sad that he killed a Brahmana. So he carried the son and went to his father, Andhakamuni, and told him what happened and begged forgiveness. The father was so hurt, so agonized with this news, that he cursed Dasharath. That just as I am feeling the pain due to the loss of my son, you will also feel the same pain, and you will leave his body. You will die due to the pain of being separated from your son. And saying that, the sage left his body. So Dasharath was extremely worried, extremely hurt. What did he do? He was feeling so unfortunate about the incident. So he returned to his kingdom, and their Kula Guru, their family priest, Vasishtha, he approached him and narrated the whole incident and told him, "Tell me what I should do." So Vasishtha said, "That has been a blessing in disguise. Because the curse is that you will die due to the separation from your son. Now that means, that indicates that you are going to have a son. So you are lamenting that you don't have a son. So now, due to the curse, you are going to have a son." So, and then Vasishtha advised him to perform a sacrifice called Putreshti Yajna. The yajna will enable him to get a son. And Dasharath had three queens, Kaushala, Kaikeyi and Sumitra. And so when the sacrifice was performed, from the sacrificial fire, a personality appeared, a divine personality appeared with a bowl of sweet rice. And he offered it to the king and said, "Offer it to your queen, and he will get a son." So since Dasharath had three queens, he gave that to them to be distributed. And Kaushala got one portion, Kaikeyi got one portion, and Sumitra got two portions from his two senior co-wives. And as a result of that, four sons were born. From Kaushala, Ram was born. From Kaikeyi, Bharat was born. And from Sumitra, Lakshman and Shatrughna were born. And they are brought up in extreme care and luxury. Naturally, they were princes. And so they grew up. In the meantime, Vishwamitra came one day to Dasharath and told that some demons, headed by a demon is called Taraka, was causing a lot of distress in the forest and spoiling their sacrifices. And Taraka is so fierce that somebody must take action, must kill Taraka. And everybody knew how ferocious this demoness was, and so he wanted Dasharath, he revealed the activities of this terrible demoness, and he asked Ram to come with him to kill the demoness. So Dasharath said, "Look, he's only a child, he's only 14 years old. And how can he face this terrible demon? Rather, let me go and fight and kill this demon. Vishwamitra said, if I thought that you could do that, then I would have asked you. But I know that you can't do that. It's he who will be able to do that. So that's why I'm asking. So Dasharatha pleaded, but finally he gave up. He was worried that if Vishwamitra curses him, then he'll be in trouble. Because the sages are very, sometimes they can become very, very fierce and angry, and they can curse, and their curses are invincible. So he allowed Lord Ramchandra to go with Vishwamitra, and Lakshman and Ram were inseparable. So wherever Ram went, Lakshman went. So since Ram was going, Lakshman also went. So many things happened in between when Vishwamitra was taking Ramchandra to kill Dwarkaraka. And on the way they faced other demons also, and Ramchandra killed them. And finally he killed Taraka Rakshasi. And then, this way, Vishwamitra recognized that this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why he came and asked for Lord Ramchandra. And when he realized, after killing Taraka, he arranged that Ram now must meet his eternal consort, Sita. And he knew that Sita has appeared as the daughter of King Janak. So he took Ram to the court of Janak. Now Sita had a condition to marry, that Janak in his palace had the bow of Lord Shiva. And the bow of Lord Shiva is so special that only Lord Shiva or someone superior to Lord Shiva cannot be lifted. Now Sita, as a little child, one day they found that Sita was playing with that bow. As a child, Sita was playing with that bow. So that way, Janak could recognize that this girl is not an ordinary personality. This personality's position is even superior to Lord Shiva's position. So who could this girl be? She can be only Lakshmi Devi herself. That's why Shiva made a condition that only anyone, if he could lift that bow then and string that bow, could win the hands of Sita Devi. So many people came, many princes and kings came, but they all failed. So finally, he took, Vishwamitra took Lord Ramchandra to the assembly, to the court of Janak, and told him that maybe this boy can win the hands of your daughter. And so it was arranged, the bow should be brought, and Lord Ramchandra just easily picked up the bow, strung the bow, and then as he pulled the bow broke. So this way he won the hands of Sita Devi. Ram got married to Sita, and Lakshman got married to her sister, Sumitra. Urmila. So the marriage was arranged, so the king Dasarath was informed, so he came. Now in the meantime, one very interesting thing also happened. When Parasuram got the news that some Kshatriya prince has broke the bow of Lord Shiva, he was very upset. He felt, now the Kshatriyas are becoming arrogant again. So he appeared there very angry, And he said, you broke the bow of Lord Shiva. So now let me see. You lift my bow. So Parshuram gave Lord Ramchandra his bow. And Ram took the bow. And it is said that Parshuram is actually a Shaktavesha avatar. He is an empowered incarnation. He has been empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to execute certain specific mission. The mission was the Kshatriyas became arrogant and tyrannical. Therefore, he came and wiped out the Kshatriyas 21 times. And so, when Ramchandra took the bow, then he took the potency that he invested in Parshuram from him. And Parshuram became bereft of the empowerment that he received from the Supreme Personality in this world. So, now the mission has been served, the Kshatriyas have been straightened out. Now, Lord Ramchandra has appeared as the prince of Ayodhya. So, now there is no need for Kshatriya to be disciplined by Parasura. So, he took the power. So, now Ram was taken back to Ayodhya with his wife Sita, and now Ram is being arranged to, after the wedding, Ram was to be coronated as the crown prince, as a successor to the throne. And so the whole capital, whole kingdom was rejoicing with this wonderfully auspicious occasion. Only one person was unhappy about that. That is a hunchback maidservant of Kaikeyi, Manthara. So Manthara was not only crooked in his body, she was also crooked in her mind. Her body was crooked and her mentality also was crooked. And Manthara came along with Kaikeyi from her father's kingdom. And so Manthara was very, very unhappy. And when she saw that even Kaikeyi was rejoicing, she started to vitiate Kaikeyi's mind. He said, now, why are you rejoicing? What's the occasion for rejoicing? He said, well, Ram is getting coronated as the crown prince. He said, what's that? What does it mean to you? It means that you are going to lose everything. You are going to lose your importance, you are going to lose your glory, you are going to lose the affection of the king. Now, Kaushalya, Ram's mother, is going to be the queen mother. So, you don't have any importance. Actually, you should try to make your son, Bharat, the king. So, initially, Kaikeyi rebuked Manthara. What are you talking about? What's happening? But Manthara kept on vitiating Kaikeyi's mind and convinced her that it would be the most unfortunate thing for her to happen if Ram became the crown prince. So, and then finally Kaikeyi asked, then tell me what to do. Like, Ram is the natural successor to the throne. He is the eldest. He is so qualified, and it is a natural, it's a natural condition, it's a rule that the eldest son becomes the successor to the throne. Then Manthara said that there is a way to undo that. He said, do you remember when Dasharath was terribly injured while he was fighting against the demons on behalf of the demigods? Then you treated him. Then Dasharath was so pleased with your treatment, the way you treated him and brought him to health, that he wanted to give you two boons. And at that time you refused to take any boon. You told him that, look, you have given me everything. What else do I need? But Dasharatha told you that if ever you need anything, just let me know. So the time has come to ask for these two boons. And with the first boon, you demand that Bharat should become the king, become coronated as the crown prince and the successor to the throne. And in the second boon, you ask him to banish Ram from the kingdom to the forest for 14 years. And within this 14 years, Bharat will establish himself, so he will be safe. And who knows, when he is in the forest, maybe he will be eaten up by some wild animals or some rakshasas will come and kill. So that way, your way should be cleared. So, Kaikeyi accepted that advice from Manthara, or ill advice of Manthara, and she took off all her ornaments, she took off her decorations, and she was lying on the floor wailing, crying. So Dasharatha was looking for Kaikeyi, and why Kaikeyi is missing, and he was reported, this is what happened to Kaikeyi. So Dasharatha came to Kaikeyi and tried to console her, tried to find out what actually happened to her, and tried to console her. Then at that time Kaikeyi told that, do you remember that you wanted to give me two boons? Now I want those two boons. And she declared what those two boons were. Dasharatha couldn't believe that Kaikeyi, who treated Ram as her own son, or even with greater affection than her own son, could demand such a evil that Ram should be banished to the forest for 14 years. And Dasharatha was completely heartbroken, and Dasharatha said, Kaikeyi, I can't grant you this. Even if I have to go to hell, I'll go to hell for breaking my vow, but I can't grant you this. So Dasharatha again went to his room, and he was very, very sad. So Ramchandra found out, he was looking for his father, so he came to Dasharatha and he saw his father in that condition. And his father, he asked his father, there's nothing wrong, it's all right. But then Kaikeyi came and told, you know, why your father is in such a state? Because I asked him these two boons that he promised to give me. And now he is refusing to give that, that's why he is so upset. So then Ramchandra, when he heard that, he told his father, no, I must accept it. I can't make you break your promise. So in order to fulfill the commitment of his father, Ram accepted to go to the forest and allowed Bharat to be the successor to the throne. At that time, Bharat was not there. Bharat was in his maternal uncle's house in Nandigram. So Ram prepared to leave for the forest, and Sita also wanted to follow, and Lakshman. So it was such a heartbreaking incident, actually. The day he was supposed to be coronated as the crown prince into the throne, he had to take off his ornaments, his royal robes, royal dress, and put on the barks of a tree. Ram, Lakshman and Sita, and they left for the forest. And Dasharatha wailing behind Ram, crying out, "Hey Ram, Ram!" When Ram was leaving, Dasharatha was following him, calling out to him, and calling out to the name of Ram, he left his body. In this way, the curse of Andhaka Muni became a reality. Ram went to the forest. Such a wonderful pastimes of the Lord. We have to understand these pastimes are actually like a play on a stage. The Lord plays these pastimes in order to inspire us to follow the path of Dharma, to become righteous, to become virtuous, never ever to deviate from the path of Dharma, but stick to the injunctions of the scriptures. So, so this way Ram went to the forest. When Bharat came back and got the news that his father died, his brother had been exiled to the forest, banished to the forest, along with his newly wedded wife and his brother Lakshman. He was extremely heartbroken. And he realized that Kaikeyi was the cause of that. And he started to rebuke his mother, that what happened to you? How could you become so evil? And he even started to beat Manthara, the hunchback maidservant. So then Bharat decided to bring Ram back. So he went to the forest, met Ram, and asked him to come back. But Ram said, "No, I must stick to the truth. It's my father's commitment. I can't break his commitment. Then he will be liable to that." And so when Bharat failed to bring Ram back, then Bharat decided to take his shoes. And he took the shoes back to Ayodhya. And he placed the shoes of Lord Ramchandra, and he ruled the kingdom during his absence with, as his representative, with the shoes on his head. And during those 14 years Bharat lived just the way Ramchandra was living in the forest. He dressed in tree bark. He just ate only forest fruits, did not indulge in any comfort or luxury. In the meantime, in the forest, Sita was stolen by Ravan. That also was another very unfortunate incident. When Ram went to the forest, there was a forest which was the domain of Ravan's sister, Shurpanakha. Shurpanakha's husband died, so she was living there. Ravana gave her this domain to rule over, and he gave two of his generals to protect her, Khara and Dushana, with their army. So Shurpanakha, when saw Ram, she became very much attracted to Lord Ramchandra, and she approached, dressed as a very beautiful woman, she approached Ram and asked him to marry her. Then Ram told her that, "Look, I am already married, this is my wife." And so Ram made some fun of Shurpanakha also. He said, "Look, I am married, so I can't marry, but my brother, he is single. He is alone here with me. So why don't you approach him?" So Shurpanakha approached Lakshman, and Lakshman also made fun of her. And so finally Shurpanakha thought that Sita was the only cause of her distress, so she wanted to devour Sita. At that time Lakshman pulled out his sword and chopped off Shurpanakha's nose. So in the meantime, the Khara and Dushana came with the soldier, with their army, And Ram and Lakshman fought with them and annihilated the whole army along with Hara and Bhushan, two very fierce generals of Ravana. So Surpanakha went and reported to Ravana. And she described what a beauty this Sita was. And Ravan, as a wicked demon, was very lusty. So he became attracted to the beauty of Sita just by hearing from Surpanakha, and he wanted to also take revenge in this way of insulting and distress that his sister was put into. So Ravan took help of Marichi, a sorcerer, a magician among the Rakshasa. As it is, the Rakshasa have mystic powers, but Marichi was a very special one. So at first Marichi told him that, look, don't meddle with this person, because I know that he is not an ordinary person. Although he looks like a human being, but his activities are extraordinary. And he told that Ram, when he was only 14 years old, and he confronted him when he was going to kill Taraka Rakshasi, and just with one arrow, Ram sent him away 20,000 yojanas away, something like 80,000 miles away, and landed in an island. He said, at least that time I survived. But now if you send me with this mission, I am sure we will be killed by him. So, but Ravan became furious. He said, I am giving you the order to go on. I will give you protection. Why are you afraid of a mortal human being? So then Marichi decided, either way I will be killed. Either Ravana kills me or Ram kills me. So if, since I have to die, better that I die in the hands of Ram than in the hands of Ravana. And then you know the story, like he appeared in the guise of a beautiful golden deer, and he was playing in front of the Parnakuti, the hut of Lord Ramchandra in Panchavati forest. And Sita Devi became attracted to this golden deer and said, Ram, please get me that deer. And Ram said, look, it must be some magic of some, because there is no deer that is golden. There is no golden deer. Deers are never golden like this. It must be some magic of some Rakshasa. But she insisted, no, please get me there. And Ram thought that this princess, for my sake, she is going through so much suffering. Now if she wants something, let her have it. Right? At least let her be happy with something that she desired to have. So in this way, Ram was taken to a distance, and finally, Ram hit the deer with his arrow, and while leaving his body, imitating the voice of Ram, Marichi started to call out Lakshman, saying, Lakshman, Lakshman, please save me, come to my rescue and save me. So both Sita and Lakshman heard. So Sita said, Lakshman, Ram is in distress. So Lakshman said, look, don't worry, Ram can never be in distress. Nobody can cause Ram any difficulty. He is the most powerful personality. Who can ever put him into any difficulty? This must be some trick of a Rakshasa. Then at that time, after considerable persuasion, when Sita failed, Sita started to insult Lakshmana, saying that, now I understand why you don't want to go to rescue your brother, because you want him to die so that you can enjoy me. So that was too much for Lakshman. So Lakshman said, okay, I'm going, but be careful that nobody, don't Don't fall into any trick of anybody. Be very careful, because I suspect that something ominous is going to happen. So then Lakshman went in search of Ram, and then he found Ram was okay. And when Ram saw Lakshman, he said, "Why did you leave Sita alone?" And together they came back, and they found that Sita was not there. In the meantime, Ravan came and he stole Sita. But later on, we found out from Chaitanya Charitamrita how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually revealed the fact that Sita couldn't be stolen by Ravan. Sita could not be even touched by Ravan. Ravan cannot even see Sita. He is a wicked demon. How can he see the transcendental form of Sita? Or how can he steal Sita? So actually what happened when Ravan came to steal Sita, Sita took shelter of Agnidev, fire. And so Agnidev gave shelter to Sita Devi, and the Maya Sita was created, and that Maya Sita was stolen by Ravana to enhance the pastimes. Anyway, so Sita was stolen. So Ravana tried to persuade Sita to become his consort. He wanted to, but Sita was so chaste that Ravana couldn't even approach her. And he took her to Lanka. And there he put her in captivity in the Ashoka forest, Ashoka garden. And anyway, so later on, Ramchandra, while searching for Sita, was told by Sampati he was first told by Jatayu. Jatayu was killed by Ravana. Jatayu was a friend of Dasharatha, the king. He was the king of the birds, and he tried to stop Ravana from stealing Sita. But Ravana killed Jatayu after a terrible fight that Jatayu gave. And Ram found Jatayu, and Jatayu told everything what happened. And uttering the name of Ram, Jatayu left his body. And then Ram came to the monkeys, and these monkeys they also confirmed that they saw Ravan was killing Sita, and Sita was taking off her ornaments and dropping them. So they showed Ram the ornaments, and Ram recognized that yes, they were Sita's ornaments. And in this way Ram made a truce friendship with the monkey headed by Sugriva. And Sugriva gave his support to Ramchandra in his rescue mission. So they came to the bank of the ocean, and there Jatayu's brother described what was happening. His brother Sampati had the vision to see thousands of miles away, and so he could see how Sita was in captivity in the Ashok forest and all that was happening. And then Hanuman jumped across the ocean, went to Lanka and consoled Sita, assured Sita that now Ram has come to rescue her. And he even proposed that he could carry Sita back to safety, back to Ramchandra. But Sita refused. She said, "How can I touch you?" She was so chaste that she wouldn't even touch anyone else. So then finally Hanuman destroyed the Lanka. He started to break the forest. Ashoka. Although it is called Ashoka Van, but it was actually a very beautiful garden. He ransacked the garden uprooted all the trees, and when Ravana got the news, he sent his son, Akshay, and with the army. And Hanuman even killed all the soldiers of the army. He killed Akshay, the son of Ravana. Then some generals were sent and he killed them also. And then finally, Indrajit bound him with the snake part, with the snake bond. With the celestial snakes they bound him. Hanuman allowed him to be bound. And they took him to Ravana's court. And there they decided that Hanuman should be burned to death. And the monkeys are very proud of their tail. So they decided that they would burn the tail, and this way they would burn the whole body of this monkey. So they wrapped cloth around and put some oil and burnt it. And Hanuman was waiting for that opportunity. So he just leaped from one house to another house, setting all the houses into fire. First he ransacked all the exterior decoration of the city, and now he started to even burn. So this is how he burned the Lanka that was made of gold. The palaces there were made of gold. Therefore Lanka was known as Swarna Lanka, Lanka made of gold. Only Ravana's palace was rescued because Agnidev was afraid of Ravana. That's why he didn't burn Ravana's palace. So this is how Hanuman ransacked Sri Lanka single-handedly, and then he jumped back to Ramchandra on the other side of the ocean. So after that, the Ravana and the Rakshasas became very concerned, very worried. So Ravana called them to an assembly and said that it's very surprising that my capital is invincible even for the demigods, devas. Now how come this monkey entered here and ransacked everything? And see what he had done, not only ransacked the gardens and houses, he even destroyed my part of my army and killed my son. And so what to do? And so Ravana's general Prahast said, don't worry, I will just go and kill these two human beings. It don't take me any time. Then his other general, also Virupaksha, he also gave some advice that we will do this and that. Then another general, Mahaprastha, said, look, best will be that we assume the forms of monkeys and then we enter into their army, and then the other demons attack from the sky, so this way we will ransack them from both inside and outside, and this is how we'll destroy their army and then kill those two human beings. So in this way all the generals of Ravana were giving different advice to Ravana of how they are going to defeat this mortal two brothers who had been banished by their own father and who is supported only by some monkeys. So they never thought, they didn't think that there is any opposition at all. But then Vibhishan, he said, look, Ravana, just consider a few things. That just one, you are underestimating them. Because you are thinking they are just ordinary monkeys, but you have seen the prowess of one monkey, what he has done. He ransacked your capital, your city. And you couldn't do anything to him. He killed your son. Just one monkey. Now consider the huge army that they have of monkeys, and if all the monkeys are that powerful, you are positively in trouble. And now you consider also what you have done. You have stolen somebody's wife. And as a result of that, you have lost all your five pious activities. You are completely bereft of your piety. Rather, your sinful activities of torturing the brahmanas, killing the brahmanas, and molesting so many women and so on. Such all these sinful activities are actually filling your cup to the brim. So this is a very bad sign. So give that woman back to her husband. Then Mahaprastha asked Ravan that why don't you just Ravan actually at that time said that no, I can't. This woman, I have never been refused by any woman. Now this is only blemish in my victorious character. Now I can't accept defeat in this respect. I must have this woman. So Mahaprasad said, then why don't you just vanish her? Then Ravan said, look, there is this incident that I never told anyone before. Long time ago, once Rambha was going to meet Nalakuve, the celestial Apsara. And I saw her, and I became so enchanted by her beauty that I wanted to enjoy her. She begged that, look, tonight I'm meant for Nalakuve. He is my husband tonight. So please let me go. But I didn't listen to her appeal. I wrecked her. And then when she went back to Nalakuve and told that incident, Nalakuve cursed me that if ever I molest any woman, I will die. And that curse was reinforced by Brahma. He also confirmed that yes, if I ever force any woman against her will, then I will die. So that is the reason why I could not. Saying that, Ravan dismissed the assembly for that day and left for his palace. Next morning, Vibhishan again went and tried to give Ravan some good advice. The assembly was there, and Ravan again disregarded Vibhishan's good advice. And then he insulted Vibhishan. I'll just cut the story short. He insulted Vibhishan, and Vibhishan couldn't bear that. He told him that, look, I am simply giving you good advice. Why don't you consider that I am your well-wisher? You will get many flatterers who will lie and flatter you. But it's rare to find a person who speaks the honest truth for your own benefit. And then Indrajit intervened and he started to insult Vibhishan. He said that you are a disgrace to our family. You are such a weakling. You are afraid of your enemy. Rather, we are a warrior, must be prepared to even die facing his enemy. Then Vibhishan shut him up. He said that, look, you are just a young brat. You do not know the consequence that your father is heading to. He is going to not only cause the destruction of the entire himself, he will destroy the entire enemy, entire family. He will destroy the entire Rakshasa Kula. At that point, Ravan just stood up and he started to insult Vibhishan and told him to get out of there. So Vibhishan, surrounded by his four very, very intimate associates, rose in the sky and left. And he said that, I'm going to join Ram, because it's always better to be in the side of the virtue. Ram is a personified virtue. Why don't you recognize that this is the personality the way he has, you are thinking that he is just an ordinary human being. But consider how extraordinary his activities are. Like he has, just consider, he wiped out, these two brothers have wiped out your entire army led by Khara and Dushana. Just consider one of his associates, Hanuman, just ransacked your whole Lanka. And what you have done, you have stolen his wife. He has simply come to rescue his wife. So just consider on whose side dharma will be. So don't side with adharma. To me it seems that although he appears to be like a human being, but he is Vishnu himself. So, saying that, Vibhishan left. And also that day, in that assembly, Kumbhakarna also was present. That was the only day. Kumbhakarna was had the curse, or Kumbhakarna asked for a boon, but he was tricked by Brahma. And the boon was that he would sleep for 6 months and remain awake for one day. So that was the day when Kumbhakarna was supposed to be awake. And Kumbhakarna also told him, like, Ravan, why did you do that? Why did you steal somebody's wife? And he said, anyway, although you have done something terribly wrong, but still I will side you and I will protect you. Don't worry, I will kill these two brothers. And so, saying that, next day Brahma Kumbhakarna went to sleep again. So Ravan, then Vibhishan then left, and Vibhishan came to Ravan's camp. And Sugriva saw. Actually, he appeared and he told, Sugriva was guarding the tent, the area. So he told Sugriva, look, I want to meet Ravan. And he said, who are you? He said that I am Ravana's brother, Vibhishan. And my brother insulted me, therefore I deserted him and I have come to join Sri Ram. Sugriva thought that this must be a trick of the Rakshasa. They have probably come to harm them. So he thought that maybe I should kill him. So Vibhishan reassured him that, look, there is nothing to worry about. I am coming with all good intentions to join Ramchandra. Why don't you just go and report to Ram that I have come? So Sugriva went and reported to Ram. And then Ram asked Sugriva, what do you think should be done? Sugriva said, he should be captured and he should be killed. Don't trust the Rakshasa. Ram asked other brothers, other monkeys, so what did they thought? They all said that, same thing, that we can't trust a monkey. He can't trust the Rakshasa. And this person has left the desert with his own brother. So how can we trust him that he will not harm us? If he can leave his own brother, own family, and trust him within our camp. So then Ram asked Hanuman, what do you think? And Hanuman said, from his gesture, from his movement, from the way he's speaking, it seems he is honest. He is not deceitful. He is sincere. And then Ram said, yes, I accept Hanuman's suggestion. And then Ram said one very wonderful thing. He said, once, if somebody takes shelter of me once, I give protection to him forever. So since he has come to take shelter of me, even if he has come to take shelter of me with some deceitful intention, still I will give him shelter. And not only I will give him shelter, I will give him protection throughout. So this is how Vibhishan was accepted in Ramchandra, by the Lord Ramchandra. Well, so I think I have to stop the class now. I already went over by 15 minutes. I was supposed to stop the class at 8 o'clock. Go on. What should I do? Did Purushottam Maharaj come? He is supposed to continue the next session. He is not here. Okay, so until Purushottam Maharaj comes, maybe I will continue. Okay. So, Vibhishan was accepted. So then Ram asked Vibhishan, so tell me, what are the strengths and weaknesses of Ravana? So Vibhishan told him everything. He told him about Ravana's generals, Ravana's weapon, he told him about Indrajit, and he also told about Ravana's weakness. And Ravana's weakness was, he was sinful. He was impious. His activities are deceitful. So this is the weakness of Ravana. And so then the consideration was how to go across the ocean. Because the army has assembled on this side of the ocean. So how to go across the ocean? So then Vibhishan suggested that you actually hail from the family that has dug the ocean. So therefore the ocean, Sagara, is grateful to you. So if you appeal to Sagara, then he will come to you. He will come and help you and make arrangements for you to go across. So Ramchandra then sat on Kusha grass on the bank of the ocean, praying to the ocean. For 3 days he did that, and ocean didn't come. So on the third day Ramchandra became very, very upset. He said that ocean god became so arrogant that he doesn't listen to my appeal. So he took his bow, an arrow, and he decided to dry up the ocean. So, so at that time finally ocean god came to Ramchandra and he begged forgiveness, and he also appealed to him about his nature. He said, this is my nature, this is what I'm supposed to do. And so, and then he said, okay, you build a bridge and I will make a pathway for you to go across. And then it was advised that your Nala is actually born of Vishakarma, the engineer of the demigods. So he can engineer this bridge. So all the monkeys then got together, collected mountain peaks and big boulders and trees and whatever they could find, and they started to throw it in the ocean. And they were floating, they were not sinking. The first day, they built a bridge of 100 miles. And they were so excited about this accomplishment that the next day, they built 150 miles bridge. Then the third day, 200 miles. Fourth day, 250 miles. And in this way, it took them to build a bridge of 800 miles long bridge, which was 80 miles wide in 5 days. So they built the bridge. And then the army went, the army of monkeys and bears, and in the front of the army were Ram and Lakshman carried by two huge monkeys. And so they went across the bridge and they came to the other side of the ocean, and Ravan sent his spy Suka to find out. And so Suka, in disguise of a monkey, no, I'm sorry, in disguise of a bird, he was actually watching. So Vibhishan spotted Suka and caught him. And all the monkeys started to beat that Rakshasa. And he was taken to Ram. And he said, look, I am only a messenger. So please spare me. Like, I am simply carrying the message of Ravana. Nothing I am saying of my own. So, since I am a messenger, you should spare me. So, Ravana's spy, Shuka, was spared by Rama and said, okay, you go back and tell Ravana that he doesn't stand any chance. He is going to be annihilated with his entire family. Tell him just to return my wife back and I won't trouble him, I believe. Why is he risking the destruction of his wife? So Shuka went and reported to Ravana. Then Ravana became very upset that this ordinary human being dares to speak to me like that. So I will destroy him. And then the next day he sent another spy with Shuka. Shuka and Sharana, these two Rakshasas, magicians, they could transform themselves into different selves. And they appeared in the form of monkeys. And they were trying to find out about their strength and their strategy. Again, they were caught by Vibhishan. Again, they were harassed by monkeys, taken to Ramchandra. Ramchandra sent them back. So, and both of them went to Ravan and told that, look, their army seems so powerful. And they're not, they're monkeys, but they're not ordinary monkeys. They're human beings, but they're not ordinary human beings. So there is something very unusual about these individuals. And see what they have already done. So please, offer his wife back to him. Ravan became furious. He said, I am sparing your lives, just remembering all the good service you have rendered me in the past. Otherwise, I would have killed you. So in this way, the battle became inevitable. That night, Ram sat with all the monkeys. That evening, they sat with all the monkey generals and decided that this is how they will attack. The four gates of Ravana were guarded by Ravana's eastern gate was protected by Prahas, southern gate by Mahaprastha, western gate by Indrajit, and northern gate by Ravana himself. That was their strategy. So Ram decided that Sugriv, Hanuman and Nala will be in the center, and four other generals of the monkeys will attack the four gates, and third gate where Ravana was, northern gate, Ram himself will attack that. And the bugle, the arrangement of the soldier was like that of a human being, and in that human being the arms of the body would encompass the entire Lanka and Lanka city. And Ram was on the head of the army, head of the bugle. So in the morning Ravana came to see the Ram was standing and watching the Ravan's arrangement. They all saw that Ravan was with his 10 heads, dressed in red robes, red clothes, with glittering red jewels, and he was all red, like a blazing fire. So when Sugriva saw Ravan, he jumped and came straight in front of Ravan and just slapped him and made his turban went flying. And then They got into a fight. They got into a long fight, just hand fight, wrestling. And in this way, after fighting for a long time, Sugriva came back to Ravana. And so Ravana was furious that this monkey dared to insult him like that. Right in the middle of his army, he has been humiliated. So when Sugriva came back, Ram embraced him, said that, I really appreciate your valor, but a king should not act in such a rash way. What would have happened if you were killed? Then how could that, what would have happened if you died in that way? Right in the middle of the army, you just jumped in like that. And Sugriva said, look, when I just saw that person, I became so infuriated that he stole your wife, that I just lost all composure, I lost all control, I lost all my senses. I just wanted to kill that person. But anyway, from now on, I won't do that. I will be more composed. So, then they approached for an attack. Then at the last moment, just before the attack, Ravan was standing there with his army. Ram's army was on this side. Ramchandra called Angad, the crown prince, Bali's son, another general of monkey army. So he said, Angad, you go with the message that still now, if he returns Sita, then we can spare this unnecessary destruction of so many lives. So Angad immediately went to Ravan with the message. And when he delivered the message, Ravan became so furious, he ordered his four Rakshasas generals to catch him and kill him. So Angad allowed these four Rakshasas to catch him. So they held him by his two arms, and he allowed himself to be captivated by them. But as they held him, Angad jumped up on the space and he just smashed them like that, dashed them against each other. All four Rakshasas became unconscious and fell on the ground. And Angad came back and reported to Ram what actually happened. He said, this person is inviting his death. He is committed to kill himself, see his own destruction and the destruction of his own death. So then this way the battle started. Anyway, in the battle, a few very interesting incidents were the Indrajit. The monkeys were annihilating everybody. Even Ravan was in distress. But the only person that they couldn't deal with was Indrajit. Indrajit could hide himself. He could just become invisible, and he could fight from the sky, shooting arrows. And so this way Indrajit was massacring all the monkey soldiers. Yeah. So, Jayapataka Maharaj, he... So, Indrajit then... Oh, Purushottam Maharaj. So you're here. Okay, welcome. Okay, I'll end the class now. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glory is Krishna.